We're going to turn our hearts. We've been going through the book of Matthew. We're going to shift gears just a little bit and take a look at sort of the Advent. As we get towards Advent, just means the coming, and we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. So we got three Sundays. We have this, and then two more before Christmas. And how y'all doing? You all got your shopping all done? Your hustle and bustle all done? I think am I done, honey? Are you done shopping for me? She's not answering. Amazon. Our buddy Amazon. Get a lot of gifts from Amazon. Amazon's pretty giving. So, but we turn our hearts. And I was trying to think of gifts. You know, I don't know what the worst gift you've ever received is. I won't ask you, and I won't ask you who gave it to you. But we all have those gifts that were like, you know, what was someone thinking when they gave us this? And if you turn around after Christmas, you go, especially the week after Christmas, go to Walmart or your favorite store, and you'll see hundreds of people lined up in the return lines, people returning all kinds of gifts. I haven't seen it this year, but I think it was last year. You know, going down the aisle and you know, the shelves have been picked over pretty bare. And as a couple kind of deciding what they're going to get for, I don't know what it was. And they turn around and finally the wife or the lady picked up this one box and says, "What do you think about this?" And he goes, "I don't care, buy it." You know, it's like finally this last minute kind of, you know, "I don't care what it is, just buy it and get it out the door." You get to that sort of exasperated point in all of this. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is called the love chapter. And this is where Paul goes on and describes love. Love is patient, love is kind, and it goes on. And he talks about the things of this world are going to fade away. And it says in this, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." There are three things that are going to continue on. Three gifts, if you will, from God that will last as faith, hope, and love. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to break down these things and look at the gifts the Lord gives us. Faith, hope, and love. Enduring gifts. As we look at this Christmas season, come with the idea of faith and what faith is. Hebrews defines it for us. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, for it by the elders obtained a good testimony." Faith is the ability, what I can't see, touch, or feel, and regard it as being real. Right? I this pulpit, I know it's here because I can touch it. I can smell it. I'm not going to taste it, but I could. Right? That's how I know this is here. I do not require faith to know this is real because I can use my other senses to do that. But right now, I know there is a church in Ecuador that is meeting. I had been there at once. I was on a mission trip down there. Their service starts, I believe, at 10 o'clock. So they're probably gathering even as we speak. But So by faith, I know. I can't see them. I can't hear them. I can't taste them. But I know by faith that they are down there and worshiping God as we speak. And so faith, we live by faith every day. Right? Going down the road. There's a yellow line going down the center of the road. And there are cars going this way at least 60 miles an hour. There are cars coming the other way at least 60 miles an hour. What is keeping them coming over and hitting you? That little line doesn't do much. But you have faith that the person on the other side knows what they're doing. Right? And we have faith and trust in a system that keeps us safe. So we live by faith every day. You know, people say, turn around, I don't want to believe in faith, right? It's just foolishness because we do. We experience faith every day. But as Christian, it takes on a new meaning for us. Because faith is the ability that we have as Christians to hang on to things that have been said, have been taught, and hang on to them. We trust in these things. And it changes our lives. Hugely, because of the faith I can have. Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? The more of God's word I know, the more I can trust him. I was going to try to be clever and talk about the idea of faith sort of being like the spirit of Christmas past, of things that have been said before that I can read and know and I hang on to. Hope is almost the spirit of Christmas future, right? I hope for something down the line, an expectation I have. We'll talk about that next week. And love is where we are right now, the ever-present love. But I thought, that's kind of hokey, so I'm not going to do that. So forget everything I just said. But faith truly is that root that we are able to read and know and believe God's word. And I can fully rely on it. The more I trust him, the more peace I can have. And even though I don't understand it, even though I don't know what's going on around me, by faith I know God's word is true. When I see that, it seems like God is not in control, yet his word tells me him. By faith I believe in him. That's faith. And faith really gets sort of broken down in almost three segments, if you will. As we play it out. First one is sort of an immediate faith. We're going to see this within the Christmas story. An immediate faith, when I hear and I respond right now. Right? When we hear God's word, what do we do with it? We sit and hear a sermon and then we go home and forget all about it? Or do I take the things I have heard right now and put it into action right now? Because I don't know about you, but often I'm prone to procrastination. I'm usually the guy on Christmas Eve who's down at the local, you know, gas station trying to find a last-minute gift for someone. I mean, that's just my nature. I'll put it off. Actually, I'm doing. Actually, honey, you're done. I've got, well, oh, no, I got one more thing. I'm not done. Lord, remind me, we got one more thing. I won't tell you what it is because she's listening. All right. Right? But we turn around. So I guess I am procrastinating. I got one more thing. But when we hear God's word, how long does it take for us to apply it to our lives? Faith comes out of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there are some things that we need to immediately apply to our life when we hear it. And a good example of this is, I think, of the shepherds. We know the Christmas story, right? Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, he says, now we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. We sing songs about this. This is so familiar scene, right? The shepherds are out tending their flocks and the angel appeared. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. I said, look, go find the babe. Here, right now, he is born. And this will be a sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But this was going on right here, right now. And the angels departed, and the shepherds had a choice. Right? What do you mean there's a babe in a manger? That's silly. Babies aren't in mangers. Mangers are just a feeding trough, right? What mother is going to take their baby and put it in with the donkey food, right? And they guys have this, and, this is silly. But by faith, they had to choose to obey or not, right? They didn't see this. They were told a sign, what to look for, but they had to take this by faith, and the moment was now. They could have said, well, you know, it's late, I'm tired. You know what, we'll go later. Well, they would have missed the whole thing. Now, the Bible tells how long Mary and Joseph were in the stable. But I don't think it was for a long extended period of time. Now, we know because of the registration that was taking place that everyone had to show up. So Bethlehem was overfilled with people. And typically what would happen is you show up in town and you stay with relatives. Well, because Mary and Joseph were just kind of the young'uns, they were ranking very high, so I'm guessing more prominent family members got the best beds. And so that's why when Mary and Joseph came, there was nowhere for them, right? No one cared about this young couple. But I imagine, you know, come morning, Mary and Joseph were like, we got a baby here, and I'm guessing that opened up a few doors for them. So I don't think they stayed and lived in the stable for several days. Actually, fast forward a little bit, when the wise men show up, they're living in a house, the Bible says. So this is a one-time shot. If they didn't move right now, if they, by faith, didn't receive that message, they would have missed it. Folks, there are so many times in our lives when God speaks to us when we have to move now. By faith, I receive his word and I apply it. By faith, I change directions in my life. By faith, I do what he wants me to do. And we can't put it off. If you're here this morning or you're listening online and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If God brought your heart for faith to him, believe this morning we shared in communion that he died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood for your sins. And you're sitting here thinking, wow, he did this for me and I've never received that. I've never asked him into my heart, into my life, never asked him to forgive me of my sins. If you've never done that, today would be that day. That offer of faith is on the table. And you feel the Lord prodding your heart, call out to him today. And he will save you. Don't delay. Maybe you've been wrestling with God. Maybe God wants you to do something and you're a believer in him. And God is calling you out to change. And you know there's an area in your life you need to repent from. You know there's an area in your life you need to turn from. Today is that day. Like the angels, that moment, that opportunity is aware for you today to respond to him by faith. James tells us to be doers of the word. And not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. James tells us, you know what? It's not enough to just hear the word, but we need to do it. We need to take God's word and apply it to our lives. And believe what it says. Be doers. What are you doing with God's word? Are you putting it into action in your life? Are you applying it? And he likens it to a man who gets up and looks in the mirror. And I always think that this is kind of funny because, you know, I wake up every morning. I wouldn't be here. But go into the bathroom, turn on the mirror, and you know, I've shared, you know, my hair is perfectly straight. Actually, last haircut I had, the lady said, you know what? Your hair is perfect for a flat top. She goes, I could give you a flat top. And I'm like, no. You know, because I'm just like a chia pet. I wake up in the morning, my hair is just, I'm a troll head. This is mousse and hairspray to get this baby down. Right? Wake up in the morning. Now I'm scruffy on top, scruffy on bottom. I'm a mess in the morning. You think bedhead's bad? Try bed beard. It's just kind of, oh, yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, you look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I got to do something. I got to do something. Because you got a choice. I can look in the mirror and say, oh, man, I'm a mess, and walk away and then share that beauty with you all. Or I can look in the mirror and fix it. And God says his word is like a mirror. It shows me my heart. And I think sometimes that's why we're convicted. You know what? Because when I look into the word of God, it shows me where I need to change and I need to apply it to my life. But often what we want to do is just put it away and I don't want to see, I don't want to change. We're hearers but not doers. Be like the shepherds. Respond. Because oftentimes there's a blessing right now that you will miss if you don't heed by faith right now. Second kind of faith I want to talk about in the Christmas story is this enduring faith. Now this technically isn't part of the Christmas story. This is fast forward a few days. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, after the angels come and baby Jesus is born, that they take Jesus and they bring him to the temple. And in here they take and they dedicate him according to the law. Luke 22 tells us this. It says that when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It says, now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here is Anna, 84 years old, hanging out in the temple. And she knew the stories of a Savior that was going to come. She knew the promises of the Messiah. And here she was, faithfully, diligently waiting for that time to come. And then that day came. Mary and Joseph showed up at the temple with little baby Jesus. And in here, the Lord allowed her to recognize who this was. And I just picture Anna here, a big smile came upon her wrinkled face. And she goes, I've seen him. And she went and told everyone else, do you know who this is? Anna had an enduring faith. And there are things in our lives that don't happen immediately. There are things that we pray for. I know many of you have prayed for your family members that have come to know the Lord. And you've prayed for a long time. Don't give up. Have an enduring faith. There are times when we go through seasons of trouble, seasons of difficulty. Don't give up hope. Because sometimes these seasons will end and there's something better around the corner. But we need faith to endure, to hang on just a little longer. Growing up in the Midwest, I don't know if they did this in Wisconsin, but I know in Minnesota, they bring us out every winter, and they would talk to us kids about the dangers. Because out here, you know, you go out west, it's all flat, and you get these big whiteouts that come across here, and the snows, you know, here we got lots of trees, so the wind doesn't get as quickly acceleration, but out there, you can get these mile-long whiteouts. And we lived in an old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere in this flat land. And there would be times for a whole day you couldn't see anything. And if you started walking and wandering, you could just go off and wander for miles and miles and miles and not hit anything. And I remember the school teaching us, they said, look, if you're out in a snowstorm, right? First of all, they said, don't go out. But they would encourage you to stay within eyesight. And actually, where we were, there was a rope that was tied from the house to the barn. Now, my parents weren't farmers. We were renting the house. But the guy before that had left a rope there so that when things got whited out, he could feel the rope and make his way to the barn. He couldn't see, but he hung on to the rope. And this struck me as a kid. I remember they're saying, look, if you get caught in those situations, don't give up. Don't give up. They said most people who they find dead in that kind of situation die within a few feet of their home. They had almost made it, but they gave up. They would just hung on a little longer. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. They were just telling us that to keep us going. But if you're in that situation, don't give up. And I also think how that applies to our Christian life. So many Christians, we give up before we reap what we've sown. Pray. I know I've talked to my mom, and one of her concerns was for her siblings. And I believe because of my mom's faith, many of her siblings have come to the Lord before they died. Prayer of one person can make a difference in the world by faith. Don't give up. If you're struggling, don't give up. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary in doing while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I can almost have this be sort of the theme for the last couple of years in COVID. Because there have been times, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm trying to do the right thing, right? I get tired of trying to do what the Lord wants when so many people around me seem to be doing what they want. Over the last years, I've become discouraged in many ways. And this verse refreshes me again. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you'll reap. And maybe what you're going through right now is a season of life. I don't know how long seasons are. I remember when we first moved to Maine, we were told that Maine had three seasons. You had mud season, you had the 4th of July, and then you had winter. That's what they said up in the county. Those are the three seasons they had up in the county. And no guarantee on how long either of those would last. Right? Sometimes the season seems so long. And if you're in a place of struggle, I don't want to just give you false hope that it will end right off. I can't tell you that. I don't know what the Lord has planned for you, but I know He says that you will reap if you don't give up. Have an enduring faith. Hang on to Him with both hands. In the midst of all this, it's not your strength, but it's through His strength. He'll see you through. The last type of faith I want to show to, as we look at this Christmas story, I want to look at an eternal faith. And I'll explain that in just a minute, but the Magi, the wise men who come from the east. And as they come and they shared, here the prophecy were given. Actually, let me just tell you here, the Magi are found in Matthew chapter 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. And when they heard the king and they departed, behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, who are these wise men, right? Chances are they were from the Babylonian kingdom. They were traveling over. Yet, how do they know about a Messiah that was supposed to be born in Israel? And that's a good question. Actually, the truth comes out in the book of Daniel. Roughly 500 years earlier, Daniel had prophesied. And the Lord revealed to him, and here we have this in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. It says, yes, it says, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I've seen in a vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me, saying, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. And the angel Gabriel said, look, this is what's going to happen. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 77 weeks and 62 weeks. And you say, what are you talking about here? Daniel was given the time frame
At this point, Israel was in bondage. That in here that they're taken captive by the Babylonian kingdom. And in here, the promise of a Messiah, the chosen one of God, that he was going to come. And he gives the time frame. And now I'm going to do the math for you this morning. And some of you are interested in this. Some of you maybe are not. Bear with me just for a moment. The basic understanding of this is that in here, it says sevens are 7 years. And Gabriel told Daniel that after the decree to rebuild, there would be seven sevens, which is 49, plus 62 sevens, which is 434. And after these 483 years, the anointed one, the Messiah, would be cut off. This is when Christ was crucified. Nehemiah was given that command 95 years after Daniel. If you do all the math and add it up, and I put it in here lunar years because that's the Jewish calendar versus our solar, it all figures out that roughly the time frame when the Messiah was prophesied to be killed was 33 AD when Christ was crucified. That 500 years prior to this, God had laid down the timetable. And he gave this timetable while they were in Babylon, and that's where the Magi were. Actually, Daniel was put in charge of the Magi, of the wise men. In Babylon. So roughly 400 years, this prophecy was shared in Babylon. And when the star appeared, the wise men, the Magi, recognized it according to Daniel's prophecies. That's a long time. Now we talk about some of our prayer requests, right? Taking a lifetime to happen. But sometimes God's time frame is not our time frame, and God is not slack concerning his promises, but God tells us that every word of his is true. Every promise will come to fruition in our lives. And folks, there are some things in this life. This morning in Sunday school, we're talking about living in a righteous world. And there will be a time when all our terrors are wiped away. When there'll be no more diseases and no more death. There will be a time, and by faith I hang on to that. And it may not happen in my lifetime. I believe the Lord is going to come back, and I believe the rapture is going to take place. I believe it's going to happen sooner than later. But I know his promises are true. And there are some promises that I will not receive until I get to glory. But my God is faithful. And there are eternal promises that I cling to. They are outside this world. I find myself singing the words of that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Angels, I'm not going to sing it, all right. That's what my mom would sing around the house, and it just stuck in me. But the older I get, the more I realize I've got a home in glory that can outshine the sun. All these promises that I have, that folks aren't always in this world, but they're in the next. And the older I get, the more I look forward to heaven. I don't know about you. There are loved ones waiting for me there. The things of this world will fade away. We'll walk on streets of gold, singing praises to our God. What a day that will be. My Jesus I shall see. The book of Hebrews tells us of this hall of faith. And it talks about Abraham and Isaac, of Noah, of the prophets. And each one, by faith, accomplish what God wanted them to do. And yet at the end of it, verse 13 in Hebrews 11 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this world." Lord, there are things in this world the world can have. Just give me Jesus. And maybe what we're going through now is just kind of making us homesick for heaven. But rest assured that if he's going to prepare a place for us, he will come again and bring us to himself. All these promises,
And every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father.
That day will come. There will be the day when Christ will open his arms and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." Are you weary? Jesus says, "Hang on. Rest is around the corner. Just be faithful now."
Faith.
Let us pray with the gentleman who asked Jesus to heal his son, said, "Help my unbelief. Lord, give me your faith." I think it's one of the best gifts of the season. Increase my faith, Lord. Help me to hang on to you until we get to see you face to face. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Lord, help us in faith, Lord, to hang on to you, Lord, to cling to you in all these things.
Lord, help us to apply your word to our lives today, Lord. Help us to hang on to it for tomorrow. And Lord, help us by faith look forward to a future with you. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful.
Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.